Hey, yo, what's good? Check it out. This your boy, Elder Sensei, one half of the Legendary Artifacts. You are right now in tune to my man, Tim Einenkel, at the library on rapstation.com. Let's get it popping, y'all. Artifacts. Peace, Elder Sensei. I'm out.
When Positive K dropped I Got a Man, I was a 13-year-old kid going to school in East Harlem, New York, listening to Public Enemy, NWA, still rocking Self-Destruction, and still rapping each track from The Great Adventures of Slick Rick. I liked this song, but honestly didn't cop the album. Years later, I did pick up Positive K's The Skills That Pay the Bills album and was really blown away by it. I Got a Man wasn't nearly what was representative of Positive K's talents. And 24 years later, he continues to spit mean verses. His latest single, Make It Happen, featuring Greg Nice, is really dope. Positive K, welcome to the library with Tim Einenkel on rapstation.com.
Hey, what's going on there? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Because when I'm here on the set, I cause a staring effect. I'm hitting bed like a deer in a wreck. Nah, I love us, but I'm here for the check. So, you know, I want to, you know, everyone, it seems that when you... You know, you listen to people that had that had hits, right? They always have like the curse of the hit, right? Either it's like you do a song and everyone wants you to repeat that song in your next album or your next song, or it's not as popular financial wise as people think it really is. What was the positives? I guess also the quote unquote curse, if there was one, for you with I Got a Man.
It was the curse of the hit for I Got a Man, but I mean it was a blessing across the board. I mean it was an incredible record. It was everything I wanted it to be. That's a song I mixed about 9 or 10 times. It went through a lot of hands of a lot of people before I got it finally produced. It was produced by, it was finished up by DJ Jazzy J. I had paid him to finish the record up. So it was great. People don't know that he's the real producer on the record. It was really great that, Kane, it started out with Big Daddy Kane, and it went through a whole bunch of changes before it got to, Jazzy. My DJ, who was the DJ I did have at the time, was affiliated with Bambada, and it got some records where that Rescue Me was put on there. But the track was already done. It was just like flying the record in at the time, you know. Right. That was about it that made the song click. But there was a number of producers that went through there. My man Lazy Lays from MOP, Mark Sparks. There were a lot of people that got to touch that track, man, you know, before it got wound down to where it was. Jazzy did put the final touches on it that sealed everything up for it. The curse of the track to me was, I mean, I wouldn't call it a curse, it was a blessing, but I maneuvered my way around it. It was just that for a visual thing for the video, everybody got, I thought that people were inspired better to having the female, seeing the females in the videos do the performances. And they weren't performers, you know what I'm saying? They weren't performers at all, you know what I'm saying? So it was kind of hard to get them there. And then next thing you know, they got a little starstruck on me, man. You know, they got a little diva-ish, you know what I'm saying? They said, I know they were coming with these ultimatums, but we need this, we need that. And I'm like, well, I don't think you guys really understand what this really is right about now, you know. I really don't need your cats at all, you know, but, you know, and then I think they got the trick. They got one girl, I mean, she put me in a Catch 22 one day. She didn't want to come out and perform, so I was like, hey, here's your plane ticket. You can go home, you know. So I did it with two girls, and then I did that for a while, and then next thing you know, another one got a little devious on me, and then I had to replace it with somebody else. And I'm like, I don't think you understand. It's not about you guys. It's about the record. You know what I'm saying? It's about and basically, it's really about me. You know what I'm saying? So. That was kind of the curse for that, and it still is sometimes when I want to do the full blown production and bring a female in to help perform with me, you know what I'm saying? So, but I mean, I usually do. I get around it. I'm so good at it right now. I could do it 9 million ways from Sunday. There's ways I got to do that song, so it's not a problem. But that was the kind of little hiccup in my plan. I didn't foresee that, you know, and that was kind of like, you know, a little annoying for me as throughout the years.
One thing I when I was doing research for this interview, I stumbled on a performance you did for Soul Train, and Don Cornelius asked you a question about how you had a recording studio, I think in the Bronx at the time, and you were developing young artists. You were a young artist yourself. I think you were probably around mid-20s at the time. I was wondering what was your thinking in doing that kind of artist development? I mean, were you kind of looking
towards longevity in career, like becoming a producer, or did you, or was it also like wanting to give back to the community, or was it both, or, you know, what was the thinking behind everything of knowing that you should develop young artists?
Well, it was a little bit of both. How I started out is that I wrote a lot of songs for MC Light, and a lot of people, when I signed the first Priority Music with MC Light and Audio 2 and so forth, and the group Alliance, I did a lot of writing over there, you know, and I came up as a writer, you know, that's basically was my thing. I mean, I was a street rapper. I was one of those guys that I was a cypher guy, you know. That's how I made my bones in the game, you know, so to speak. And I was thinking about doing like a production company, which I wanted to do. That's why I put certain people's names on records, because I wanted to have these people, like, you know, to be respected as producers, you know. I had my DJ name on certain records, but not as production, because I wanted to start a production company and I wanted to be like, take care of the business and have somebody be the face of production, you know? And that's what I wanted to do. Even if I hired producers to come in and do certain things, I wanted to have a person to be like a face of production. And I know production was not really my forte. I'm an excellent co-producer. I mean, I really did a lot of production on the album, because it's like I knew the songs I wanted to use and things I wanted to put in place. It's just that I needed somebody to put it all together nice and smooth. Yeah. That was my thing. You know, I'm great at that. So I wanted to do a production company. Plus I wanted to give back to the community. And at that time I was working with I was talking with Jay-Z at the time. We were working, and it was Doo-Wop from the Bounce Squad. I had worked with him, and we had an arrangement being done with him and an artist named Snagglepuss, and I wanted his whole Bounce Squad to be down, and I was working with Jay. We wanted to do a deal, a 50-50 deal, but what went down was that Jay, Clark Kent, the DJ, had got a job at Atlantic Records, and that's where Jay-Z went over to Atlantic with Clark Kent, and he called me, and he was like, hey, man, you know, I'm going to roll with Clark over here. I said, hey, long as you want, I'm okay, you know, because... Right. Big Daddy Kane was the one that put us on. He brought me in, then he brought Jay-Z in, then he brought Sauce Money in. So, you know, we were like, you know, we came from that same fold. So we were looking out for each other. So that's how that happened, and that's what I was talking about when I was working with artists at the time. So, but that was great. And also the Red Bandit artist that I had at that time where the Nine Dogs MC record came out, you know, so.
If we did this interview, and I'm not going to stay on, you know, I'm not going to just keep on talking about 1992 with you, but if we did this interview in 1992, I would have asked you this question about your album.
Okay. And
I know, I Got a Man was the single that came out that everyone knew you for, but for you at the time in 1992 as an artist, what song do you think? It could be I Got a Man as well, but what song do you think kind of best represented that the mission or the flow of that album?
There was a few songs I could that kind of summed it up for me in that album, to say I was skillful, that I was creative, and I wasn't just an ordinary guy, that I was conceptual, I was a great writer. I think everything that summed it up, I couldn't just say one song, but I said I know the three that I'm thinking about. It would be, number one, it was a song called Shaken. If you listen to all the styles that people are doing right now, that was like the first cat. That was the prototype of all of that that fast rhyming kind of a thing. That was Shaking, you know. And I think back, and I'm not going to say the name of the artist, but there's an artist that's not here no longer. That one of their friends said, hey, that's where he got that style from. And I was like, I knew it. But I knew that's what it was. And I told everybody I knew that's where it came from, but I couldn't prove it. It's like, and this person is dead and gone, and I wouldn't want to tarnish their reputation or anything. But if you listen to the song, you can, there's not that many rappers that have passed away. You can listen to the song and you can kind of sum it up for yourself where that came from. And you might hear a similar style. And that's where that came from. And the person's right hand man told me, like, hey, that's what he loved that song, he loved that album, and that's where that style came from. I was like, wow, I knew it. I really knew it. Something told me, it hit me inside, because when I do styles, they're so original and so far off to the left of there. I don't even do them twice myself. No. You know, it's like I don't even do it twice. So for somebody else to do it, it was like it had to be something crazy. You know, you had to either be hanging around me the whole time, or you heard it and you liked it. You say, I'm gonna try to put a twist on this because I like it that much. But that's what that was. And the song Shaking and the song How the Fuck Would You Know. I think was really, really incredible. It was a hard record. It was like one of those, it was like one of those spit records with a concept that was just so blatantly outlandish and just to the point that it was just, it was incredible. And I just loved my flow on that record and how I just sat on that record. It was just, I felt so good about it. And then there was a song called It's All Over. That was the last song I did recording the album, and it was really, it's a Tina Turner thing that I flipped, and I had that song for a minute. I was wondering how to do that song, and I rode around in my car that night after the beat got done. I said, this is it, this is the beat, and I got the beat got done. I rode around in the car maybe for about 3 hours until I finished writing that song, and I wrote that song that night. And I said, I wasn't coming back. That was the last song for me to turn in for the album. I said, I wasn't coming back until I wrote that song. I went to bar after bar. I sat in the car by the West Side Highway, I just got myself into the zone, and I was just throwing papers all over the backseat of the car, and I was just sitting there turning up loud and just sitting and riding, going to the next spot, go to the next bar, take a break, get back in the car and drive again. And I finally got it. And I think I recorded that song maybe about 4 or 5 that morning when I got back there, man. And I was, you know, and I was really, I was in my zone. I was feeling nice. I went in and I nailed it, you know, and I really loved that record. That was an incredible record for me, man. And those are the 3 records that kind of summed it up for me, man. And it just felt, that's probably the best feel-good record I got on there that, of me rhyming, that I really felt. It kind of hit me to the core of my soul. I was like, damn, I really love that record, you know. And it's called It's All Over.
When I first heard the album, the diversity of flows you had and styles. I was literally blown away, and I kept on looking, I guess, at the CD at the time and being like, wait, this is Positive K? You know, like.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, because it's so weird that no one really, I don't think people ever noticed that, because I Got a Man was so big and it overshadowed the album so much that I never used the same style on the record. I mean, each song had a different flow to it. It had a different style to it. And I think that was so genius and so incredible that no one ever really caught that. And I thank you. I commend you for catching that and really getting it, because I guess I see you got it.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just glad you got it, you know. Cause I think people just kind of dismissed the whole thing because I Got a Man just really just outshadowed everything.
Right. I mean, the first track on the album, I mean, besides the intro, the first track on the album, Pass the Mic, it was kind of just like, I think I listened to it 10 mm-hmm. times in a row just to be like, you're totally right. You hear, and I couldn't pinpoint who it is, but you hear artists today that totally heard your album, I think, and are trying the different styles that you were trying on the album.
Hey man, I listen, and I tell you, I listen. Sometimes I hear rappers. I said, man, that's what you would call it. That's my flow. That's it. And I mean, it's identically. I mean, you can just listen to it, play one and play the other one, and say, come on, this is 20 years ago. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this, come on. Is this me? Is this me being an artist? Maybe I'm on my own stuff too hard, or what am I doing here? You know, I'm like, you know, I'm trying to be humble and say, hey, maybe it's me. But I mean, I don't know.
Right.
Another
track that I liked that also shows your array of styles was when in 2006 when you appeared on Nas's Where Are They Now remix. Still spits the summer, came up like I hit the number. Yeah, y'all know me. I'm not a stranger to y'all or orgy. Squeeze your trigger finger in the air to sift before me. I'm more prime time than Maury. Plus I take it to the bridge like James Brown and Nas support me. My rhymes are suppository. Feel shit. 12 broads watch me more than they watch the stories. Yeah. Yes. Right. Kingpin, Ron Bass, the original Spinnerella, Father MC, you know, everyone was on it. What was that conversation like when, I mean, I imagine, when Nas kind of called you up and said, could you write for this song? And then what was this collaboration like at the time?
Well, what it was that, he didn't call, his people called me, matter of fact. But with that, they said he would be honored that I'd be on the record. And I was like, oh, come on, you know, come on. Nas is out there. He's running around, da, da, da. You know, and he was like, nah, he really wants you to be on the record, man, you know. But he did shoot me a message back, you know, like, yo, he appreciated me getting down and he enjoyed what I did. I did the song. I recorded it at my spot, and I just shot it out to the guys, man, you know. So it was no really like we were just sitting in the studio together just working it out, hammering it out and nothing like that. But the story behind it was is that why he was so, and you know, pushing for me to be there would not do it, because I really was like, you know, there's so many people on the record. I'm like, you know, I'll wait, man, until, you know, he's like, they were like, nah, you got to do this, you got to do this. So I said, okay, cool. What it was is that way back when I was trying to put artists together, Nas was one of the people I wanted to work with. Matter of fact, he came to me. He wanted me to really manage him. But at the time, he was with MC Search. So Search got really upset with me because me and Nas were talking. Nas was getting ready to come with me with Nas, until Search called me. And Search was like, man, that's my artist, man. What are you doing, Plies? Man, that's not right. You know, me and you go way back. You could have called me and told me something. I said, Search, I really didn't know you guys were like, you know, you were doing business with him like that. I mean, he came to me, you know, and I said, well, Search, you know, we're buddies. We go back to the Latin Quarters days. We started out together, you know, before we even had records. We used to hang out, you know, and do our thing in the Latin Quarters. So I said, man, I would never do that to you, you know, and then, you know, and I talked to Nas. So I told him, I said, look, man, you know, it's the right way to do business and it's the wrong way to do business. And I'm not going to take you from him. I said, you know, work it out with Search. You guys do what you got to do. Search is a good guy and he's passionate about what you're doing right now. So, you know, I said, I'm going to pass on this, man. And you get, you know, do what you got to do, man. But, you know, Nas appreciated that so much back then. He was like, man, that's some real shit right there you just told me, man. I really appreciate it. So when they reached out to me with that, I was like, bam, okay. So I went ahead and I did it, man. And, you know, I'm glad I did. It was a wonderful project and it felt good, man. A lot of love came out of that project, too. You know?
Is it different? I mean, you just mentioned you did it from, you know, you did it at your place and you shot it back to them. Is it a different?
Yeah.
Different feel for you, or do you like it more that when you're able to kind of create something on your own, or do you still like that kind of in studio with everyone vibe?
I was never ever, the reason I built my own studio back then is because I was never the in the studio person. I never felt comfortable. I mean, you know, cause I always thought that my talent was a one of a kind of thing. You know, I thought if I worked in the studio with a bunch of people that everybody would be doing what I'm doing, you know. So I was so secretive. I wouldn't leave my tapes any place. I wouldn't record. If I recorded downtown someplace in one of them spots when I was doing anything, I'd be in there and I had the door. I mean, I'd be locked. It would be sealed and locked. You know, and nobody, people wouldn't even know I was in there until I left. And, you know, I was going, Paz, you were here the whole time. Oh, I would have came in. Like, nah, you wouldn't have came in. I was working, man. You know, so I've never done that, man, whatsoever. And I'm always comfortable working in my own space, doing my own thing and being in my own confines, man. I think I get more creative. You know, I feel free to make more mistakes, to be more experimental, to try things. You know, when you're in the room with people and you start seeing facial expressions and everybody's saying this, and you know, it kind of messes with your mojo a bit. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I like to be to myself. You know, I was always the kind of the recording loner. You know.
I, of course, you know, you obviously have an array of history, but I also want to turn to today where you know you have this new track out with Make It Happen featuring yes. Greg Nice. How did this collaboration come together? And then also, can we hopefully expect more future collaborations between you two?
It's so funny. Greg Nice just called me. He's calling me right now. He's calling me right now. Hey, Greg, I'm going to hit you right back. Yeah. Yeah, he's calling me right now. That's how crazy is that? You talked him up. Yeah. Yeah, we did the song. Matter of fact, he had I was looking for some tracks and whatnot, and me and Greg, we did a show one night, and I think I came out of the nicest move set. And we were hanging out one night. He said, maybe, you know, we can even get together and do something. All these years we've been rocking, we never got together and did anything. So I said, you got any beats, anything? I'm looking to do something. And so he came and he played some stuff for me, and I liked something. So he went and laid it down, and at a friend of mine's house, D. Anthony, one of the best engineers in the game, he mixed some of the biggest records from Wu-Tang to my stuff to everybody. He laid it down, and then D. Anthony called me and said, yo, did you hear this shit that Greg did? Yo, I said, yeah, he put a beat down. He said, nah, he put a chorus on it. I said, get out of here. I said, what, is a chorus on it too? So I said, he plays the joint with the parts. Oh my God, this is crazy. So I run over to the studio and I get a copy of everything and I come back and I start sauteing it and marinating it and putting my touch to it. And we did it. And after I finished it, I played it for Greg. Greg was like, this is crazy. So he said, you know what, man, let's do an album. I said, man, you want to do an album? I mean, I didn't see it. I didn't foresee doing an album. I that's a lot of work, you know. I said, that's a lot of work, bro. You know, that's a lot of work. And he's like, yes, we should do an album. Let me put some stuff together. Let me find some things and let's see what's happening. So we started getting together, making the phone calls and talking to people. And people were like, okay. So we did another song and we were like, okay, this is definitely something we need to do now, you know, because the next song we did is like, wow, it really blew me away. I was like, okay, this is crazy. So we started working song after song after song. We worked on this album for about 2 years now.
Oh, wow.
It's about 2 years old. Yeah, that song's about 2 years old. And we're done. It'll be at about 4 weeks. We started a group. The group is called the Great Minds, you know, because great minds do what? We think alike.
Yes.
It's Greg Nice and myself. We have some great producers on there. We have DJ Scratch. We got Primo. We got Fat Cat. We got Big Harrell. We got Easy Moby. We got the Justice League. And we got Slick Rick's old DJ Vance Wright. Gave us an incredible track. We are really kind of, and plus Greg's production, I think Greg is one of the best producers. Not even underrated. He's not even mentioned as a producer, you know what I'm saying? Because he produced a lot of that Nice and Smooth stuff, and he's like a great producer. And it's like he's not even mentioned in the conversations being a great producer, which he is. And he did a lot of songs, and we are really sitting pretty good. I love the album. It's self-entitled, The Great Minds, and we'll be out in about 4 weeks.
Has your approach to making an album, has it changed much or at all from versus when you made The Skills That Paid the Bills?
Yeah, man. It's changed a lot, man. I mean, you know, like I said, you don't got to be in the same room with anybody anymore to kind of like do things, you know. You can get on Skype, man. You can have a session with somebody on Skype. You know what I'm saying? You can be, you know, it's crazy. You know, you can be playing to be like you're in the studio with them anyway. So it's crazy. So I mean, it's just all different. The mechanics of it is all different right now, and the vibe is all different. I think if the technology that existed right now would have happened back then, it probably skills to pay the bills would probably wouldn't be the same feel. It probably wouldn't be a Skills to Pay the Bills album if things were the way they are right now. I couldn't see not being in the studio, in my own studio where I was. That 125th Street studio of mine that I had built was magic, man. I mean, there was something about that studio that was so hip-hop for me, man. I mean, it was just everything that just came out of there was just felt so good and gritty, but it felt musical and it had content and it was just, I don't know, it just that place was just in the right place, the right time, and everything just felt good right there.
There's a line in the track "Make It Happen" where you say "Bound to happen since the days of Bob Backlund." Backlund being a wrestler that had a career of over 30 years, I was curious does wrestling have an importance in your life? And also, why you use that as a reference for your song?
I thought you were gonna go to the my name's a Debbie Mop in the hood like Gold Teeth.
I like that line too. I like that line too.
I thought you were gonna go with that one, but the Bob Backlund line is incredible. And you have to be a wrestling head to who Bob Backlund was. He was the father of wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Bob Backlund was like one of the cornerstones of what the WWE is right now today. You know, so it was bound to happen since the days of Bob Backlund. That was way back to know that. That was at the beginning of wrestling, the beginning of everything. That was the beginning of me coming of age, you know, of my awareness and my consciousness of myself. You know what I'm saying? I love wrestling too, man. Ricky Steamboat, Jay Youngblood, all of that stuff, Sergeant Slaughter. I mean, I think I was so aware at that point in time of everything and my surroundings, and I was growing. My mind was so active at that point in my life that Bob Backlund reference just meant a lot to me. Yeah,
we have to talk about, you know, we talk about the new school, old school, and, you know, veterans of hip hop. And unfortunately, right now, rap music is seen as, you know, it's considered a young person's art, right? But people like yourself and Greg Nice and Chuck D and are debunking that. But for you, when did you realize that? I mean, when did you realize that you, I guess, couldn't rap anymore as a quote unquote young man, and you kind of had quote unquote mature with your lyrics?
Well, I would say this first, big shout out to Chuck D. He's the only feature we have on the album. So Chuck is on the Great Minds album, you know? Wow. I always, I always wanted to be different. Like I wanted my rhymes to be mature from the gate. I think I got that from Kane. Kane always was like he was like more that mature kind of futuristic grown man kind of thing. I think my whole Skills Pay the Bill album was a mature kind of a. It wasn't just be saying things to be saying things. I mean, I think there was a maturity to what I was doing, especially with like I Got a Man. I mean, if you listen to I Got a Man, look at I Got a Man, I was really trying to imitate Marvin Gaye. I was trying to duplicate the Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell experience. That's what I was trying to do, you know, and that comes from my whole background from my parents and whatnot. I mean, I played with records all day long. I had an extensive record collection. And I listened to everything from Wilson Pickett to Curtis Mayfield to Marvin Gaye to Johnny Taylor. Everything I had was mature. I mean, I didn't know anything of outside of just like, you know, maybe Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five and all that stuff. And I was totally opposite of everything they were doing. All my stuff was mature, man. I think, I always strive to be in the maturity of my concepts and my lyrics and my musical content. Everything was, especially Night Shift. Night Shift was old Lee Moses loop. Everything was always soulful and funky and that kind of grown man kind of thing that you can kind of put your shoes on and still be a B-boy with, though, you know? So that's where my vibe always was at. But I don't know how much of a young man's game it is. I mean, I think things have really, the tides have changed. Right. Maybe with the decline of rap content these days, I think it has changed around. I think the demographics has opened up. I think hip hop has grown up now, and you got that 35 to 50 demographic that's in there right now. That I think that people are totally ignoring and don't think that, you know, that it's really important. It's not always the 18 to 25 anymore. It's that 35 to 50 because hip hop is of age. It is a mature music, you know. So in my mind, I think that music, the production the guys are doing right now, I think it's incredible. I think rap has evolved to what it has been. I think production is crazy. You got producers who just played who know how to do the SP-12. Now you got guys who can play with both hands. Yeah. You know, you got guys who play two and three instruments now. You do their own drums and keyboards and stuff. I mean, production is incredible. I love what Swiss Beats is doing right now, what Timbaland and those guys are doing. I think these guys are real accomplished musicians now. You know, I think lyrically, there's been a decline in lyrics. Mm. You know, I'm not as excited and as enthused as my generation. You know, from that lyrical content, I'm not impressed with that, but. Production is crazy right about now. I think it's wonderful. I think if we can switch it around and get the my generation with these new producers, I think it would be incredible. I think it would be I think the tables would definitely turn drastically if given the chance.
Right. I agree. But I guess, I mean, also with the fortunate thing is, right, you have a satellite radio now and internet, so there's this great push for. There's a great push for older artists to get their stuff out, or I mean, not just quote unquote underground artists to get their stuff out versus like, you know, radio still pushing back, which is, I imagine, extremely frustrating.
Radio is going to be dead in a minute. It's going to be all about this the streaming thing, and it's going to be about that. And radio has seen its day. It's like the newspaper business. I mean, it'll exist, but it's not going to have the impact like it used to have anymore. And you can see that now, you know. I mean, artists are eking out their livings and becoming superstars without even getting played on the radio. So it's not that important anymore, you know. So.
Positive K, his new album is Great Minds with Greg Nice. Positive K, thank you so much for joining me on The Library with Tim Einenkel on rapstation.com.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. One thing for sure, as this world turns, it's almost put it hotter than third degree burns. Switch my styles up like wigs and perms. Run up in the world like super sperm. Young ones must learn. Look at my emotions, I'm a trip just like Big Worm. But some of these pimps took a turn. Caught that tricking disease, but I'm immune to the germ. See, I got a link, but not that link on my neck. I link with bad bitches, y'all ain't hearing the vet. Now y'all ain't hearing me yet. On the set, I cause a steering effect. I'm hitting bad like a deer in a wreck. Nah, I love us, but I'm here for the check. And that took years to perfect. Cause I'm kinky like Rick James. I nappy hair when it's wet. Yeah, I stay turning it up. I be banging it out. Stay working it. Yo, I make it happen. Stay turning it up. I be banging it out. Stay working it. Yo, I make it happen. Stay turning it up. I be banging it out. Stay working it. Yo, I make it happen. Stay turning it up, I be banging it out.
yup, you know it, yup, yup, you know it. I like girls who ain't afraid to throw it.